B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, there have been a couple little football nuggets today as Agenda Free Friday continues. Agenda Free Friday is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group here with Felger and Maz. A couple little football nuggets that Murray has been reporting in his updates. I'd like to go into some of them because I think they bear mentioning. First thing at the Combine, who have the Patriots been meeting with, Murray?
This is from USA Today. That quarterback Tyree Jackson from the University of Buffalo said he had an informal meeting with the Patriots back at the Senior Bowl.
So this is the guy that I told you about?
I looked at the video yesterday, yeah.
I think he's 6'8 or whatever he is.
He's loose. A freaking force.
And the Patriots have also reportedly met with West Virginia quarterback Will Greer. So they've spoke with them and also one of the top wide receivers, too. The name I just had, and I'm sorry. But they have been talking to players.
Okay, well, no, but to me the quarterback thing is what's interesting. You know, are they targeting a quarterback this year? I think they should. I think they should have done it last year. I am the guy that says sacrifice the draft pick now to try and start getting the next guy. Because the whole argument, I think you're on the other side of it, Murray, which is surround Brady, maximize this window, and win here while you can, and use this pick to help Brady. Because if you draft a quarterback, it's not helping Brady. Although I think we found that the last quarterback helped Brady. It did. The last quarterback helped Brady. But I'm just the opposite. You won a seventh championship. I mean, that's great. That's really great. But then you got to wait another 5, 10, 15, and who the hell knows? You get on a thing where you're the Miami Dolphins and Marino retires and you still don't have the guy 30 years later. I mean, I think that can't happen.
The only thing I'd be into with that 32nd pick for quarterback is if they traded for Josh Rosen.
Okay, so but all I'm saying is, to me, 32 is in play for a quarterback if I'm them. And even if they miss, do it again next year. Get the next guy. Get the next guy.
Maybe there was an organizational embargo on it last year. It was like in the wake of all the Garoppolo thing, let's not start it up again right away. Right, let's just slow down, take a year off from, we'll pick some chump in the seventh round, Eddie Etling, crying out loud, from LSU. And then after that, let's get everybody back on the same page, and then if we want to go get a quarterback, we'll get one.
Well, remember, McDaniels was working on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they don't take one this year. Like, if they go 2 years in a row, and I don't count Eddie Etling, I'm sorry, Murray. But if they go 2 years in a row without taking a court, like, at this stage with a 42-year-old, that's borderline negligent.
Come on, and why, Bill's still here? Get a guy in, presumably Bill's still here. Get the next guy so he gets some coaching under Bill and Josh, and so when he starts to play, he hits the ground running. He's in the book. He's in the system. He's under this coach. So I do it now, and I'm not afraid to trade 32 for it, even if it's Josh Rosen and there's something on that, you said.
So Sportsnet New York, they're reporting that many NFL sources believe the Arizona Cardinals are targeting Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray with the top pick in April's draft. And obviously, if that were to happen, you now have their top pick there from last year, Josh Rosen. What are you going to have to do? Are you going to have to move on from him?
Okay. Does 32 get you Josh Rosen?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I mean, again, the Cardinals are selling lower than what they invested, but they're still getting a first rounder.
So, and to me,
it's almost in the perfect spot, actually.
Just so we're clear, I'm not telling you I want Josh Rosen. I that's not my field. I don't know anything, but I especially don't know college players coming into the pros. I just don't follow college enough to tell you whether Josh Rosen is the guy or not, and I haven't really watched enough of him to tell you. So I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he's not.
He went 10th overall last year. So 10 to 32, like, that seems doable.
Yeah, no, but that seems, if you draft a guy at 10 and are done with him after a year, the next team, if they come in with a first rounder, even if it's 32, I think that's fair. I mean, you've got to take a hit.
Absolutely.
Drafting the wrong guy, presumably. But so all I'm saying is, if the Patriots like him or liked him coming out of the draft, yes, do it. Absolutely. If they don't like him, then forget about it. I'm not telling them just to take a guy to take a guy.
No, you're just saying if you like the guy, you'd be willing to trade 32
for him.
Yes,
you bet. Absolutely.
So if I'm the Cardinals, the more that I think about it, I'd keep them both. I believe in that whole competition thing. I do. And I do see, you know, the Redskins, when they got Cousins, took RG3 that year with the number two pick, right?
Yep.
So they took two quarterbacks in that draft and created this internal dynamic of competition and each guy making, one guy making the other guy better. If I were the Cardinals, I'd keep both, but I doubt they, will.
Okay. So there's that. Murray, what else did you say? No franchise with Gostkowski yet.
Yes, they Good. Haven't. They haven't approached him.
No, they're saving it for Ryan Allen.
Yep, there's been positive contract talks that have taken place between the team and the punter, Ryan Allen.
Okay, there's no tag for a punter. It's the same number, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Thank you. They're not going to give the punter $5 million.
No, I'm joking. But, you know, he was might have been their second most valuable player in the Super Bowl.
If you can only keep one going into next year, who would it be?
Ryan Allen.
Take money out of it. Who'd you rather have on the team? You can only have one.
Gostkowski.
The punter was really good in that Super Bowl.
Oh, God, he's a punter. Don't get stupid. Good God.
Gostkowski's a kicker who misses a big one every single championship game he plays in.
Yeah, a punter? Seriously? You're going to keep a punter over Gostkowski?
Left-footed. You know how Bill covets the left-footed punter.
Hecker, you mean there isn't another one out there?
That Hecker dude's a weapon.
Tell you what, let's get out of the soccer field right down the street here, and we can find a punter to put in for Ryan Allen.
Okay, what else did you say that I liked?
Well, this I don't like. Source says the Patriots have been in talks with wide receiver Chris Hogan about a new deal. I also saw Nora Princiotti, Boston Globe, say that there's as many as 20 teams in on Chris Hogan, which I think is a giant lie.
Oh, would you please?
I thought I heard 25
would you please?
Earlier.
Okay, stop. Dorsett, they're talking to, you said?
Mutual conversations between the team and Philip Dorsett. He also sounds like he wants to return. I'm into that.
Okay, who's the one that said he would? Is there a guy that said he's going to take a pay cut?
Patriots linebacker Dante Hightower reportedly has not been approached about a pay cut. He will not be willing to take one.
Okay, feels like people are talking to agents. Good. Agents are talking. Good job, guys. Talk.
Maybe all these guys refuse pay cuts. So maybe Gronk did. Maybe McCourty did.
I told you this. Like, this is, they all have leverage. And they're all making too much money. I was just looking it up. The real money here for Dante Hightower this year is a $7 million base, $800,000 roster bonus, $600,000 workout miscellaneous stuff. So call it $8.5 million. He's got $8.5 million on the books right here. That's too much. His cap hits $11 million, but again, the real money is $8.5 million. So the difference is what the dead money would be. And maybe a little bit more, actually. But I won't go into too many of those details. It's just that that's a little too much for a guy right now. So I think they would want to trim him.
I was going to say cut him in half. But if you told me it was $5 million, fine. Like,
no, it's $8.5 million.
No. But I mean, if they cut him, you know, I said half. In other words, they should really try to cut him to $4.25 million. But if they settled on $5 million,
see,
I'd be
I
okay
see,
with
I
it.
I see.
Is what I mean.
Okay, so McCourty's too high at around $9-10 million. Hightower's too high at around $8.5 million. Gronkowski presumably is too high at $9 or $10 million. And the team could go to all three. And if I'm all three, I say, no, cut me. And then what? They come out of their next Super Bowl and they cut McCourty. They cut Hightower. They cut Gronkowski.
No shot.
I don't think they'd do it. And I don't think they should. I don't think they should take a dime away from Rob Gronkowski. They should pay Rob Gronkowski every stinking dime on his contract and give him even a little bit of that incentive package. You're going to let him wet his beak every more, you know, even more if he's healthy. I would not take a dime from Rod Gronkowski. McCourty's different to me, Maz, because he's been paid at the top of the market since he signed. He signed a really good second contract.
Sure, and he has seen every year of it. I mean, there's only 1 year left. He's seen every dollar of it.
I don't think they've restructured him down once.
No, they haven't.
I don't think. So it's like, Devin, you've made yours. You know, you've been treated fairly. And so in this last year, you have to give a little bit back. Hightower, I think I would do the same thing. They gave him a great contract when no one else would. He was failing physicals across the league, right? Remember, didn't he fail a physical with the Jets or somebody, the Steelers?
Yeah, one of them.
The Jets.
And so, like, the Pats took care of him. So Hightower and McCourty, I'd feel okay doing it. I wouldn't touch Gronkowski.
Yeah, if I were any, look, to me, I'd approach all three. Again, I'd approach all three.
And just in the interest of entertainment, I'd like to see all three say no. I'd like to see then the team release those three guys.
No shot.
Right?
No shot. But again, this is further proof of how things have changed down there in the last year plus. All of a sudden, guys are saying, no, cut me.
Well, I'm saying that for them.
I know, but play along.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay. Like,
they
you know.
They haven't done that yet.
I wonder. McCourty says he's coming back.
Oh, well, no, I'm sorry. Hightower did say it today. So, right, I take that back. Hightower did through his agent or whatever.
And McCourty's coming back.
He said he's coming back, but.
You think he's going to take a pay cut now?
I don't know.
I remember when Felger was fun.
Yeah, seriously, what happened to you?
I'm just trying to tell it as it is.
Oh, no, no. Now all of a sudden we're interested in facts. Right. I forgot. That's right. I forgot. That's right. The whole misleading the public thing's gone.
My mistake. No, I'm sorry. You're right.
9.5 years, the rules changed. Let's move the goalposts.
I'm rooting for those guys to say no. One already has. Okay, that's where we're at. Was there anything else in there, Murray?
No, that was it. But I was skimming through some stuff from last year because I remember reading a few people like Jason Lack come forward that there was reported interest that the Patriots had in Josh Rosen if he slipped. Now, granted, this is the lying season, especially as you get into the draft and whatnot, but it was him, this other guy, Benjamin Albright, who has a blue check mark and says he covers the NFL. There was a Nesson report. So, I mean, there's multiple places that said the Pats had some interest in Rosen. So if they can get him at 32 and they like him, I'm into it.
See, Murray's right. It's a lying season. Embrace it. Okay, embrace it. Lie a little.
All right, so there's your football items to kick off a 4 o'clock hour and agenda-free Friday. Write your phones after this.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
They drop the puck. Bruins win it. Horn sounds. Two Titans entered, and the Boston Bruins will leave with 2 points. The Bruins with another convincing win. 4-1 over the Tampa Bay Lightning. They end the month of February 11-0-2 and snap the Lightning's franchise record 10-game winning streak.
There you go. Everything on the table here on Agenda Free Friday, including a lot of Bruins talk after another great win last night against the Lightning. There was another football item that I wanted to get to that I will actually let our buddy Chris in Raynham talk about. Go ahead, Chris. What do you got?
Hey, guys, that loser second-place franchise, the Kansas City Chiefs, decided that they were going to be the ones to take up the cause of changing the NFL overtime rules, which just reeks of crybabiness, which you would be bashing the Patriots for. So this is just another time that NFL is trying to change the rules based on the Patriots doing something. Well, I just have a quick game. I'm going to go through this fast for you guys. I want to know if it was sour grapes or fair rule change. Let's go with one. Colts in 04 with Polian. Was that sour grapes or fair?
Sour grapes.
Sour grapes.
What Ravens after 15 with the changes and the switches?
Sour grapes.
No, fair. Fair.
That was fair. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What about jumping over the line after the Seahawks did it for years on kicks, and then the Patriots did it, and it was banned the next year?
Fair.
Sour grapes.
Everybody was doing that.
But the Patriots did it well and started doing it with Collins and that other guy, the linebacker.
Fair.
Last one is slightly different, but the Super Bowl catch change last year. Sour grapes or fair?
Oh, fair. That had nothing to do with you.
They wanted to change it. They were going to change the catch rule for years. Everyone had a problem with it. Going back to Dez Bryant. Then the Steelers game happened, and suddenly this was the year that it changed, and they changed it in the Super Bowl, during the Super Bowl, on the fly last year, which is a proven fact, opinion.
It did. It did, Chris, but they couldn't predict what plays it would impact. In other words, it was the Clement catch that was going out of the back of the end.
Correct.
The Corey Clement, yeah.
That would have been ruled incomplete if it was in the regular season. It would have. I agree. They changed the rule going into that. But if it were the Patriot, they would have done the same thing. In other words, they called it differently, but there was no way to predict who that was going to benefit. It ended up benefiting the Eagles. But that wasn't like...
The Jesse James one was the tipping point, though.
Yeah, for sure it was. For sure it was. But
that was more about, I think...
That's the way they were going to call it. And oh, by the way, they did the same thing in the conference title games, didn't they? Didn't they sort of change the way they did it in the whole playoffs, not just the Super Bowl?
No, it was the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl was
where they changed it on the fly. Yeah.
Were there games in the conference title game that were also...
I don't remember, but the sentiment was that it changed in the Super Bowl.
Still, I think that one was more random. The illegal contact against receivers absolutely is a result of you, and I thought that's sour grapes because, well, the competition committee has always favored offense, always going back decades. That's not new. But in that era, it was Bill Polian on the competition committee, and he was the GM of the Colts with Peyton Manning. So definitely sour grapes. The thing about the illegal formations, I'm glad they did that. We're going to dink around here and we're going to like try and trick you with all these sort of weird formations that, you know, put this guy here and that guy there and we're not going to announce, or we're going to announce kind of, but we're not really going to announce. It's like, that's not what I want the game to be. That's not, I don't want anyone wants the game to be. It's concocting all of these things where we can line up this guy here or that guy there and then announce or declare but not declare and then do it. But what number is he wearing? Like, you want to get bogged down in all that crap? I don't mind them, you know, reversing that at all. And this overtime thing, I'm glad the Chiefs are doing that.
Ugh.
I'm glad. The overtime format right now is not as good as it can be. And you should want the same thing, by the way, because eventually you will lose a coin flip. Eventually you will. You're 3-0. Three overtime coin flips. You've won them all. The odds of that happening, Maz, or what?
Say it again. 12.5.
12.5%.
I was zoning out.
Yeah, no, but you hung in there nicely, Maz.
12.5%.
You just got it. 12.5%. You're going to lose one eventually.
Yeah, see, I was thinking about what I was going to say with regard to Chris's call.
No, so I understand. So eventually you're going to lose the flip, and you're going to have your crappy-ass defense out there with your Hall of Fame quarterback on the sidelines, and then you're going to say, well, this is a dumb overtime format. I'm glad that they want to change it. They should change it.
So Chris gave you four scenarios,
yes,
right?
Correct.
In which you said, which you had to say that whether it was fair.
Or sour grapes.
Sour grapes. And you got two were sour grapes and two were fair?
Yes, that's right.
Well, then you failed, Mike. It's all four sour grapes. Yeah, you know that? No, that's an F. 50%. Two out of four is 50%. F for Felger. F.
Scott's our second most annoying caller. I'm sorry. No, Chris and Rainham's second. Number one is Scott in Weymouth. Go ahead, Scott.
I thought I dropped that over the past month. Really?
No, all right. You're still number one, babe.
All right, here we go. Got to be good at something. All right, great solid win last night. Now, I don't want to hear people say, oh, Tampa was tired. They were coming off the Rangers game. I don't want to hear it. This Tampa team, they don't scare me as much as they do everybody else. Now, listen, their record's 49-12 and however many overtime losses. That is an absurd record. There's no way they're as good as that record. Trust me. We are not dealing with the 84 Oilers here or the early 90s Mario Lemieux-led Penguins.
Okay.
We played them. One more thing, Falga, please.
Yeah.
We played Tampa two more times this year. Once down there, and then a week later to close the season. Right. Our last game is home against Tampa. Those two games are going to show you where we stack up against them.
Okay. The second to last one will. Not the last one. The last one.
Right. It's going to be meaningless.
Yeah, the last one's going to be AHL players.
And I will predict that Tampa wins the next one.
Okay, so the next one is the one. The next one's the one, okay? You got him in a good spot last night, and you destroyed him. You were all over him. I don't know what the conditions are in the Tampa game down there. You'll be on the middle of a road trip, I'm sure. You'll be playing Florida either the night before or the night after. It's usually the way it works down there, so we'll see. I think it's fair to say, while this Lightning team is so head and shoulders record-wise ahead of everybody else, they're not an all-time team. You know, I don't know. I mean, you're right. It's not the Gretzky Oilers.
Not yet.
Not yet, right?
I mean, what if they rampage through the playoffs?
Then they're an all-time team.
Mike, they've lost 12 games.
I know, it's ridiculous.
12.
No, they're really good.
12 losses all year, 12.
Joe and Swampscott has a thought on the franchise tags in the NFL. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Mike, the other day you were talking about tagging the San Francisco kicker. Why doesn't the NFL, it's foolish, so why doesn't the NFL put into perspective something that would be the below cap, where you cannot tag anybody below $7.5 million, $8 million. That's number one. Number two is, what Danny Ainge do? If Kyrie went to him and said, Danny, you want me to spend all long-term here. You want to bring Davis in long-term. Boy, I don't know if we can play for this Brad Stevens guy. What would Danny Ainge do? And finally, real quick, Tuukka Rask is the David Price of the Bruins. Thanks, guys.
Okay, that means he's due. That means he's due and he's going to break through. Hmm. Well, that's good. The franchise tag, so there's a minimum franchise tag number. Not a bad idea.
No, look, I told you, I think it should be restricted to which positions you can use it at. But, same idea, though.
But short of that, right, exactly.
Same idea.
If you can't franchise someone for less than $10 million because the only guys you're going to pay more than $10 million to are that important to your franchise.
Correct, premium positions.
So even just take out the positions. $10 million is the bare minimum for a franchise tag.
Yes, I'm in. Anything that prevents you from using it on a kicker, because that is just, I told you, un-American.
Okay, the first thing about, if the players make it clear to Ainge that they don't like Stevens, and I think this, again, we played that Kyrie stuff about getting better. I think that was a clear shot at the coach, and you're seeing some strain there between the coach and the players. How should Ainge handle that?
Fire Stevens.
Yeah, it's a players' league. Gotta go, coach.
I mean, look again.
Jimmy, that was, you're not going to get a clearer cut than that.
No, that was pretty good.
That's
No, that's a good drop.
Yep, no, it's perfect.
No, I just laid it out there for you. No, nothing before, nothing after.
No Photoshop.
Nice, simple,
needed.
Clean edit, Jimmy. You don't have to do anything. Fire Stevens. If you are look, again, I to me, this is standard operating procedure in the NBA.
You're saying it's if it's unworkable between, if the players have tuned him out and it's not working with the players, you get rid of the coach.
Yes. And again, this isn't a Stevens thing. This is a star player versus coach. I'd say this about every star coach and player in the league. If it's Kobe Bryant and Phil Jackson, bye-bye. Phil, nice seeing you. Michael Jordan, Phil Jackson, bye-bye. See you later. Tim Duncan, Popovich, bye-bye.
LeBron James or Pat Riley?
LeBron.
See you, Riles.
Miami stuck with Riley. Riley wouldn't let LeBron do whatever he wanted.
No.
Riley was on top of him.
Okay, so they made a mistake. Look what happened to them. Is what I would tell you. A big mistake.
That's a good point.
You're dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Always the player. Always.
Isn't there precedent this with the Celtics where they wanted to, Pierce wanted Doc Rivers fired and Ainge stuck with Doc Rivers and Pierce and they figured it out?
See, I'm telling you, Ainge won't do that. The Celtics are one team that won't do that.
Yeah, you're probably right. But the way the question was presented is if you had to choose. And I'm telling you, in that league, and it sucks. I'm not telling you I like it. But in that league, if you have to choose, you choose a star player, and you find some other guy with a whiteboard to coach your team and make him think that he's actually having an impact.
Maz actually made it simpler than that.
Fire Stevens.
That's so simple. You're not going to get any clearer cut than that. That is no fence-sitting bullcrap right there.
Fire Stevens.
That is. Boy, the team's struggling. They're not listening to the coach. They're now starting to mock him in post-game press conferences. What should they do?
Fire Stevens.
Perfect.
No, I can already see where this one's going to go.
What if Brad Stevens just keeps saying, we got to get better all the time?
Fire Stevens.
What if Brad Stevens keeps swearing? What should the Celtics do?
Fire Stevens.
Tell you, that was perfect.
I'm never going to live this one. It's going to go right up there with Sony Michelle.
Here's Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
One of the things we've been hitting on today, I thought it was an interesting story in the Globe. It was released yesterday, but you know me. Papa has to get the paper in his hands. If it's not in the paper, Murray, I have a hard time reacting to it. You know what I mean?
Stories aren't real until I can hold them.
It's really true. I'm really not good if it happens during the day, that day, unless it's a big obvious one. I need to be able to get my paper in the morning and open it up and read it, and then I can underline it, and then I can... So the character coach thing came out yesterday, but I read it in the paper this morning, so thus...
You love the highlighter.
I like it in the paper. What can I tell you? Ben Volen and Nora Princiati there on the Globe. Character coach leaves the Patriots. The Patriots coaching staff has suffered another substantial loss this offseason as Jack Easterby, the team's character coach and one of Bill Belichick's closest confidants, is leaving after six seasons. Multiple league sources confirmed. Easterby's contract with the Patriots expired after the season, and he has decided to pursue other opportunities in football. So he's going to go be one of these coaches somewhere else. He was a character coach in Kansas City with Pioli before he came here. Easterby helped navigate the Patriots through significant highs and lows over 6 years. The Aaron Hernandez ordeal, Deflategate, four Super Bowl runs. Last season, Easterby's foremost assignment was mentoring and keeping close tabs on troubled receiver Josh Gordon. Here's the part that is most interesting. Easterby felt his time with the team had run its course, and the Kraft situation does not sit well with him, according to league sources. Easterby retweeted a message from Saints tight end Ben Watson last Friday about the entrenched evil of human trafficking. And again, I've read you that Watson tweet a couple times, and I didn't obviously know about it until I read this Globe story. But basically, Watson's whole message here is that it's a horrible evil, you know, which we all, I guess, agree with. But he basically said, no matter the perpetrator, human dignity, truth, and justice demand that these crimes against humanity be unveiled, individuals and collectives involved be punished, and survivors be restored. So that line, what you're basically saying is that Robert Kraft should be exposed and punished. That's it. I mean, he starts off by saying, be appalled but not surprised. Be appalled but not surprised. Human trafficking is a $150 billion industry. So he basically calls out Robert Kraft with this.
Yeah, you give it a like. That's your endorsement.
Okay. Yeah. Retweet, right? And so this Easterby retweeted it. And now he's gone. So did he leave because of the Kraft situation? Or did the Krafts look at this and go, dude, get out of here?
Feels like more the second thing, doesn't it?
I don't know.
So, but again, in the story it says his contract expired after the season.
That's right.
Okay. So we're just finding out now?
Well, and he actually was, it came out on Monday. Okay. So his contract expired after the season. But the other Patriots coaches found out in Indy on Monday, because he's usually in Indy, because he's apparently not that, who would know this, he's one of Belichick's right-hand men. You know, it was said here, Easterby's main responsibility was to establish and set the team's culture, but he was a jack of all trades. He became a part of Belichick's inner circle and one of the most important executives in the building, on par with director of player personnel Nick Caserio. Which is big. Easterby not only served as a team chaplain, but also was a trusted mentor for players. He helped Belichick determine which players would and wouldn't fit with his program, participated as a coach in on-field drills, and sat in on almost every personnel meeting with Belichick. His contract was up, but if he was going and or going with Flores to Miami, he would have gone with those other assistants.
See, that's what I think.
Or he would have been gone by now. All these coaches have fled already.
Look, the timing of this all coming out, you know, with the Kraft story, certainly suggests that the two are linked. And at the same time, I'll tell you that I add them all together. You've had seven now staff members leave. Seven.
Okay, but this is not. This might be part of that exodus. But the timing, Maz.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to get around that. And if that's the case, he's not leaving on his own. They told him, well, you're not coming back. Not after that tweet. Like, so this is the one that put him over the top? And again.
No, I mean, again, this is a guy.
For all the stuff that is out there on the Kraft story, I don't think anyone is, you know, connected him to human trafficking.
Right.
Okay, now you could say, well, by going into a place like this, you are supporting people who do.
Right.
Commit human trafficking,
yep.
Right? You could certainly, which is essentially what the law enforcement is doing. They're linking the two, saying you're supporting it. So I suppose you could go that route. I don't know. I just feels like a convenient excuse for me to someone to say I'm leaving because of this. Just my two cents. It would be, I think if he spoke out against it, it's more likely that they told him you're not coming back. If that's,
yeah.
You know, if there's a link there, to me, that's
yeah,
what
that
it
makes
is.
More sense. I mean, I get it. He's the, again, what is he? Morality coach?
Character coach.
Character coach. So I get it. I mean, that is in the title.
With relation to the football, you know, as it relates to the football operation, one of Bill Belichick's closest confidants, is Bill going to let a guy like that leave if it's important to him?
No.
I mean, I don't think. I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, I don't know.
So that I don't know what's going on there.
It's interesting. That's the whole point. There's a little meat on the bone with that story. When it was announced yesterday, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. The character coach left.
I think the whole offseason has been a little unusual as it pertains to the staff.
Okay, so that's just the reset there. So you know what we're talking about when we take these calls. Bob and Needham. Go ahead, Bob.
Felder, as far as the draft is concerned, who's the strong safety of Rutgers? That's going to be
That's going to be their draft pick. Very good.
Secondly, I when you said that yesterday that they had a morality director or
character coach,
I could not. My head spun. I was like, "Is it Jim Jones? Who the hell is the morality director?" I couldn't believe it. They're paying someone to be morality down there.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Their character coach is the devil.
Beelzebub,
murder, prostitution, drugs, steroids, street drugs. Cheating, like God.
We'd like to introduce you to Coach Lucifer.
Ryan in Worcester. Go ahead, Ryan.
What's up, guys? So, if Belichick and this guy Easterby, they're really close. Isn't this going to create some conflict if the Crafts, like, just told him to leave?
Well, so, look, one of two things happened. He left of his own free will and his own volition because enough's enough. And what the owner did is, like, it's put me over the top. I mean, I'm joking about murder and all this, but he's, you know, he's been here for all that crap. He's been here for a lot. And the ownership thing put him over the top, and maybe he held Robert to a higher standard. Or maybe he knows more that's been released and there's more to the story and he's getting out ahead of it. Either that, or he retweeted Ben Watson, who basically said Kraft should be exposed and punished. And the team saw that and fired him. It's one of the two.
I mean, it does feel that way. Again, the timing of it certainly suggests a link to the Kraft story. And so, but you know, the caller raised an interesting point. What if Belichick wanted to keep this guy? He tweeted this thing out, and then Kraft says he's got to go. And Bill says, what?
So the palace queue's back on, Maz.
So I can't keep my backup quarterback, and now I got to get rid of the character coach,
dude? I got to tell you, I missed the palace queue. So if you're telling me this is part of it, fine. Game on. Scott in Northbridge on Kraft. Go ahead, Scott.
So Kraft hires this million-dollar lawyer, right, to fight these misdemeanor charges. And he's going to poke holes in the case. This is Florida. We've all seen Dateline. So it all gets dismissed, right? And everybody walks. But by poking all the holes in his cases, they poke holes in the entire case. And now some pretty nefarious dudes will probably get to walk away.
Yep.
Because they got a free million-dollar defense because Bob Kraft. Is that what he wants to be remembered for? I mean, he's a 77-year-old billionaire. Nobody cares that he gets a little on the side and he pays for it. Nobody cares. Public opinion's done. Have a great weekend.
Yeah,
guys.
No, I'm with you. I don't think it makes him look good. I don't think we generically, again, take the name out of it. Like people who obviously do something wrong but get out of it on a technicality. We don't like rich, powerful people who commit crimes but get out of them because they can afford super legal teams. We don't respect that as a culture. And now, as a Patriot fan, I know that you will subjugate and leave at the door any previous moral or feeling you once had just to support the Patriots. But that's the fan thing. On planet Earth, we don't support that. We don't like that. It doesn't come across well. So that's what Robert's doing.
I mean, to me, I heard the morning guys talking about this and how the whole perspective on it would change if the charges were thrown out. Not for me, it won't. I mean, but again, I don't take it all that seriously at the beginning anyway. So maybe I'm in the minority there. Like, I look at it and I said, that's kind of funny. It's embarrassing. It's funny. You know, it's not the worst transgression I've ever seen. Now, the human trafficking element of it, totally different story. I'm just talking about a guy walking into a massage parlor. Okay? Like, I'm not that offended by it. So
how does it change everything if the charges are dropped?
How does it change everything?
Yeah.
I think that
because they shouldn't have pulled him over the night before.
So Rich was talking about it this morning, saying that no, it changes the whole sort of perception of the story.
How?
I don't know. I honestly disagree with it so much. I had a hard time following the logic.
Because there was a technicality on the investigation of the police work.
So one of the things he argued is that, that getting into the Hall of Fame means something to Kraft, and that will...
Oh, that might help that.
Maybe. But again...
I mean, 2 or 3 years down the line, you say he got into this trouble, but the charges were dismissed.
Okay, does that mean it didn't happen?
The case was dropped versus a not guilty. It's on the fringes, maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Again, so to me, I don't know. I wouldn't factor it in with the Hall of Fame consideration anyway.
I don't know how it gets him out of an NFL suspension.
I don't think it does. Again, if they're going to sit there, if the league is going to sit there and say that they have higher standards for owners than they do for players, if they have that sort of standard, and it doesn't matter whether there's an actual criminal charge or even a conviction, then what difference does it make?
Yeah, and if he accepts it, there is no conviction anyway. I mean, it's not about that.
Bringing sort of negative attention and disrepute to the league.
The whole thing that came out yesterday, you know, that it was the manager and the owner, or, you know, it was a 45-year-old gal and a 58-year-old gal, and he might have knew them or had relationships
with them. No, one of them had a license.
A license, yeah. Like, I don't know what that means. Because there was no massaging, at least the second day. Or at least not what I wouldn't call that a massage. I'd call it something else. Was she licensed for that? But, so I don't know what the licensing mean. But it's different than, you know, him being with a borderline underage human trafficky, you know?
Well,
what
sure.
I mean?
Like, yeah,
so
sure.
It does change it, but it opens up a whole new range of questions then. So you're saying he had a relationship with the madam? I mean, de facto, like the pimp, if you will?
Yeah.
Like in that, I mean, if I'm using that properly. So, oh, well, so what? So he's friendly or is in a relationship with someone who is doing the human trafficking.
Right.
Oh, well, why don't we look at that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, the whole, like, for everything that would, might get them off sort of opens up a whole nother range of questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're just speaking at it from a practical standpoint. Like, you get on that road, did he give her money?
Well, it's on tape.
Right? No, yeah. I don't mean the $100 bill. I mean, you said if he has a relationship with the madam, did he loan her any money at any point that he didn't know what was going for?
Like, there's a whole thing's a can of worms.
So, like, and I'm throwing crap. I'm not telling you that happened. And I'm not, I doubt seriously whether any of that ever happened.
Yeah, but what you're doing here by throwing crap at the wall, with him fighting this, that's what's going to continue to happen. More crap's going to get thrown at the wall. What if this thing unravels? What if people end up having to, like, testify or something like that, you know, via translator, and we find out that this thing's deeper? He's best served to just say, hey, I did it, and have it go away now.
I just don't see the benefit for him in this. I don't.
He doesn't want to take any lumps on it. So that's what it is. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Domingue, back of the net. Took a little time, feeds it over to the far side. Kucherov has it stolen, left of the net. Wagner shoots Domingue to save. This guy! On the line, high slot. Here's Heinen. Dances to the right circle. Drops the shoulder and turns to the slot. Bergeron shoots and scores! The Bruins have found the holes. Heinen sets up Bergeron, who snaps one in from just inside the left circle. Bruins 3, Lightning nothing. Krug, sandwiched by a couple of Lightning. Sent to the far corner, Heinen. Out of the far hash, and it's lobbed out. Breakaway chance. Here's Marchand into the slot. Forehand. Deets shoots and scores! Domingue shatters his stick. Brad Marchand all by himself. Dangled into the slot. Picked his spot and just chipped one right between the legs of Louis Domingue. The Bruins have staggered the Lightning. 4-0.
Three-goal outburst from the Bruins in the third period last night. They beat the best team in hockey. And, well, Murray's on board.
All aboard the Bees train.
Well, the Bees train is one of the items here on an agenda-free Friday. Everything being on the table.
Louis Domingue did a number on that stick, didn't he?
He did.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a better swing than Jackie Bradley, I'll tell you that. Not that that's saying much.
Wayne and Grafton, go.
Oh, Big Jim, you're like the... Mr. Rogers of sports with that Hooterville Railroad beep-beep thing. I don't know if you guys remember that. Anyway, I think I could be a character coach for the Patriots. I could give them a few tips, but maybe not. But the main reason I called was about Marchand. I loved that goal that he scored when the goalie flipped out, and he just, you know, faked him out of his shots. And your puppets today, I enjoy your puppets. As I've taught you guys before, I have an aversion for hand puppets, and I have my own private show every month.
Yeah, but... no, I got that way. We'll let you go. We'll replay the puppets at 5:55 tonight in the final word.
I know the Mr. Rogers train thing he's talking about.
So you're all in, Murray. If the Bruins and Lightning play tonight in a 7-game series, you're Bruins.
Yep. Yeah, I am. I feel a little bit nervous about it because of Tampa and they were wagging, but yeah, no, all aboard the Beast Train.
Yeah.
All aboard.
You are so gullible sometimes, Murray.
No, it's great. It's all based on the night before.
Yeah.
No.
Good, bad.
It's been based on the recent weeks and these additions that they've made to the team. As it turns out, I wasn't upset. I could have been. I think I was wrong about wanting Wayne Simmonds, and they've made the right decisions, and the team looks better, and they're going to get Pastrnak back. And based on some of the comments, because a few people tweeted this to me, because I guess the Cassidy alluded to the fact that when he does come back, he is going to go on the first line. So they're not going to break up that second line. I like that. They're getting good play from some of the kids, like the formerly quiet one, Danton Heinen. Yeah. I like the Bruins.
See,
if I can be super negative and declare the Celtics dead, I can be all in on the Bees.
See, I don't react to every win like that like Murray does. I only react to the losses.
Exactly. Yeah. The wins don't count. We've got Craig in the car on those overtime rules. Hi, Craig.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So, actually, I just wanted to call in and kind of throw out my my suggestion for the NFL. So, when you're heading into, 2 minutes left in the game is tied. What I'd like to see is at the point in time that the time would expire, you put 15 minutes back up on the clock. Everything continues as is. Whatever timeout you had continues, right for everything.
Okay, that's good.
So let me just get this straight. When time, you just reset the clock and you pick up where you left off?
Just keep going.
So what's the impetus for actually having any urgency at the end of the game?
Why keep the clock at the end of the fourth quarter?
Right. Just keep going.
There's not 5 minutes left. There's 20.
Yeah, Felga, I think what they should do to solve the overtime problem is they pick the two fastest guys and they have a 50-yard dash. And then if one guy wins, then you have to go the other 50 and he has to win that too. Otherwise, you do it all over with two different players.
Coming up next, your calls on everything on an agenda-free Friday. Bruins Patriots, the Kraft story. Obviously, that was probably the lead from the week. That's a whopper. Another Patriots bleep storm, as Murray would say. Celtics, and we'll get back to it again next hour.
Let's let the clock run out with no penalty.
Did we?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Did we not pick up the proper message from Kyrie Irving? Kyrie Irving with those comments about the BS of the regular season and talking about getting better. We thought he was bitching about the media or the commentary or fans or NBA Twitter. Was he really calling out his coach? Was he really bitching about hearing too much from Brad Stevens? We'll get to that story as well. All of it with your calls right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.